Morning, Sea Masterpiece, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for the Sea Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I like to see the people that are texting in and saying, great interview, guys.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
It also was nice that he said the same thing on his way out. Great interview, guys. Really appreciate that.
I do appreciate that.
I have posted.
We've had not great interviews in the past.
That interview stunk. I'm out of here, guys. I have posted the list for all of our Friday football feasts. I posted on Twitter. Unfortunately, there was a typo and the same address for a Taco Bueno and Uncle Julio's.
Oh, no.
So the web guy admitted that he screwed up on the internet, and he has changed it and he has tweeted it out there. So it is out there, and I'm going to tag it I'll pin it on the KNC Twitter, and then it'll be up on the KNC Masterpiece Facebook page very soon what I'm expecting and anticipating.
Right,
Kevin runs that, by the way. If you've ever, Kevin Hagelin, I know Khaki Kevin's over there going, I don't run that.
No, we'll see.
Kevin Hagelin has been running that since we were the Weekends. I built it out, and I was like, Kevin, take care of this. And you've gotten, what, almost 20,000 people on that thing.
Dude, I do not have the technical skills to build anything even like that, even close.
Kevin.
Yes.
Is this petty? And who is petty in this situation? What are you making that smile for?
No, I'm smiling because as a petty person myself,
you're the right
I feel
person
as though I could be qualified to answer this question.
You are the right person to ask. It appears that the Mavericks were not happy.
Oh, yeah.
That a billboard that featured a combination of Luka Doncic and his favorite game, Overwatch 2, actually, he was an Overwatch guy. That's a dead sell, what Carter Freeman told me. Overwatch 2, though. That is something that Luka loves, right?
Yeah.
And there was a billboard that was kind of too close to the Mavericks facility.
So stupid.
And they have asked for that to be moved.
Why?
Because according to
people
sources.
Will stop watching the Mavericks because they forgot. Here's the thing, all right? Nobody in the universe who would care about that billboard has forgotten that you traded him, okay? Like, no one's driving by and they go, wait a just a damn minute. I forgot about that until I saw this billboard. That's it. I'm out on the Mavericks again.
That being said,
stupid.
This billboard, it was down at Victory Plaza. I think it's the digital board, right, too? And right there in front of the AAC. Now, Kevin, you know that it can be petty to ask for people to move it, but it also can be petty to make sure it's there.
That's fair.
I don't know that Luka knew, but I think part of him was like, is there any way? They got a lot of signage around there. Is there any way we can get one put up down by the AAC?
All right.
And is that petty of Luka if he did it or hilarious?
Absolutely. I think that's petty as well, because I would just say, Luka, buddy. You got a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hundreds of millions of dollars in your Los Angeles. You're fine.
Let it go.
Yeah. Like, it's
I think he has let it go. But there's no doubt that dude doesn't let things go like that.
Which is one of the things that makes him great.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's what made Michael Jordan the champion he was. A.
For sure.
He wouldn't let things go. B. He lied to himself about things that never happened. So that he could motivate himself. He would make up stories. He would make up fake arguments. Michael Jordan would. And just so he could go out and score 50 on somebody.
I get it. Like, and who am I to question his process? It clearly worked out super well for him.
Yes, it did. So that was part of that discussion. Also, does that make you want to play more Overwatch now that you know that the Mavericks are against it?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just not a big gamer. I'm not one of those people who like games are for kids. I think that's really stupid. It's not for me.
Gotcha.
Now, did y'all know what the billboard said in front of the AAC?
You shouldn't have traded him, dumbass.
I wish that's what it said.
Then I could see. I will admit, if that's what it said, I would be like, that's probably not going to work.
What'd it say?
Cowboys never die.
Oh, so they were upset. They were like, it's a Cowboys ad, and we don't need that down here at Victory Plaza.
Again, why? Because people are going to be like, they got another team here in the Metroplex? I believe I will go watch that team instead.
I've never played. I've never played Overwatch before. Have you, Kevin? No,
I'm not that much of a video game guy.
I don't know much about that one. I'm still stuck with.
I know Paladin. He's ranked in the top like 500 though. So,
dude,
oh,
and I have seen that at the
that explains something.
The esports gaming facilities, like that's it's yes. a massive crowd. Yes. It draws huge crowds.
Absolutely.
All right, so Kevin,
have you ever been to an event in that facility? I went to a wrestling event in that facility. It's fun.
Before it was. What it is.
Sports Center. Yeah.
I went to there. I went there for a speaking event.
Oh, okay.
For my class. It was a like a May term class.
Okay.
And I rode with this girl who I thought I was going to die the whole time. And then, but it's not because she was a woman driving, you know, it was just because
she was a bad driver.
Bad driver who happened to be a woman.
Yes.
Which played into a certain stereotype. Bad drivers.
I understand. Sometimes I feel that way about older people when I drive by them and I was like, I knew you were going to be 800 years old. I just knew it.
Now, Kevin, when Craig James left, he said, fantastic interview. Love you guys. It's pretty much what he said.
By the way, he also signed, we procured two footballs that he signed, and we're going to get Eric Dickerson to sign them as well for Peace of Thought.
So, or if you were a super rich billionaire SMU alum and you would like those to help out a group of people.
Hey, you could just donate too.
Yeah, you can do that too. But Kevin, he said great interview. Mm. And you said sometimes you've walked away and interviews haven't been so great.
True.
I want to get a thought on how you would respond to this interview.
Is there any point during training camp that, like, especially like all like people like especially like count two for?
You say what?
Just like all like especially like that's like all like go for, especially like within training camp.
Man, what?
Like all people like especially like got push mirror, like that's like something like you see.
I ain't gonna lie to you, I don't know what the hell you just said. You said that's a part of training camp. Did what?
As everyone's out here, you guys are with the Falcons. You guys are here in Atlanta. Yeah. Is there any point like Cushport, like especially like, they come for? Like, is that something like you used to look at?
Say that again.
Just like have everyone like come around, like especially like for you, is that like especially like come for, like especially like you do look at?
Say that one more time.
Just like all like come around, like especially that's like kind of something like especially like for, like just like with that training camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
He doesn't know.
Just because.
That's good right there. That's good right there.
All right. That's a good answer because he just said yes to move on with it, and also. Is that reporter doing a bit? Because,
yes.
All right, I was going
to
say.
He was actually hired by the Titans to do that. And
oh, okay.
I got to give that dude a lot of credit for the ability to do that because whatever he did that set that in a direction and then to throw down training camp at the end of it, and they're like, hold on, training camp's the right word. So did I just miss the middle part of that? They're all tired anyway.
Sure.
That one right there, though, it is a funny bit to me. And I'm glad the Titans did this because they're boring.
Okay. I am also glad they did it because I was also like, wait, he's like changing the way he speaks right there at the end, right? Because that was also throwing me
off. Training camp? And they're just like, what?
I thought the first one, I was like, was he saying, like, what's it like to be here now that you're ready? But I thought, I don't know that to be the case whatsoever.
And bits and interviews are a blast. They're sometimes difficult to pull off.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't have somebody that's willing to play along with it. Or,
fair.
I think we've had two really good bits that we've involved interviews. One of them, obviously, dang, we didn't ask the Brisket Sando question to Craig James.
I don't know if we need to
continue that.
Do that.
But one of them was Max Holloway, who we were at the Super Bowl, and you said he likes to cuss. And
still true.
And I said, okay, it's a pre-recorded interview, so here's what I'll do: I'll drop some cuss words, and I did that. Well, then once he started to cuss as well, I was like, "Whoa, you cannot do, dude! This is a radio show." And he was like, "But you just..." And then I would do it again, and he would be like, "I don't understand." And I thought he was going to punch me at one point.
Oh, that would have been bad for you.
That would have been very bad for me. And then he wasn't involved as much as we just made it a bit. I went and stuck my microphone in while Oscar De La Hoya was talking.
Man, I did not know y'all were going to do this.
We went to Las Vegas to cover a fight. It was Mayweather-Maidana 2. And I might say that at some point, Kevin may do that again in his life. That was an amazing event that we got. It was awesome.
Don't know.
And so Oscar De La Hoya, bro, I was like, oh, Oscar De La Hoya's over there. And I was like, sweet. So I go over there and I stick my microphone in. And then when I get the audio, it's all in Spanish. And I was like, well, what can we do with this? Mm. And so what we did was we played the audio and then we looked at Kevin and we were like, can you believe he said that? And Kevin was like, what? And we were like, yeah, it's wild that he said that.
And yeah, you and Colby. And I was like, I don't know what he just said. And they're like, why do you not know? And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't speak Spanish.
And
fluently.
Then that same weekend was the weekend where we were at a Rick Ross concert. And was it Prince the Boy or something too?
I don't remember, but that person was super popular too.
And my phone, the only reason they called me and the only reason I was able to I looked down at my phone. I felt it vibrating. I was like, is that the vibration of my phone or the vibration of the speakers in this place? And I looked down and they said, Evander Holyfield is here. Do you want to talk to him? And I just tapped Kevin and said, we got to go. And we left a Rick Ross concert for Evander Holyfield.
It is a weird hodgepodge of words as while we were at the Mayweather pre-fight concert in Las Vegas watching Rick Ross, we had to leave to go talk to Evander Holyfield. Like, that's a weird combination of words that you're like, did you just have a stroke?
But it
and did. I'm like, no, that's what happened.
It was a lot of fun. Then, Kevin, I also questioned this. How mad do you have to be to charge the mound? This is Ronald Acuna at the plate.
He was pointing at you.
Yeah, my apologies.
And the Braves Iron Man. Here's Acuna. Oh, he got hit. Oh, boy. Ronald's not happy. Well, we've seen this before. Oh, the benches are going to clear. Everybody feeling a little testy this afternoon. They might issue warnings here. There was no intent by Gusto, but after the homer by Olsen, here comes the bullpens. That's a relatively half-hearted effort.
If you're that mad, charge him. Yeah. If you're that mad, go after him. See, you don't see that anymore.
No.
That is,
I love that.
That is a relatively half-hearted effort right
yeah.
there.
If you're gonna go after it, do it. That was tremendous. And I will say, like, I understand the contention of Acuna in this point. Like, whether or not somebody drilled you on purpose, you hurt him. That hurt. And in the moment when you're hurt or tired, do you think things through correctly?
No.
No, you don't. You make rash decisions. And I get it. Disappointing to see the effort that they put out there, though.
You know, the Mike's talked often about the, and he talks about it still to this day with Dave Raymond about the game policing itself and how, right. Hey, look, you don't have any other option but to throw at his guy. Like, that was it seemed insane that Mike just openly said it the way that he did. And we were like, what? Because it seems it's an unspoken sport. There are all these unspoken things, which we hate so much about it too. Mm. But when it seems like that part of the game, I don't know if it controlled it more or if it made things worse because guys knew we're going to police it. It's going to happen because now it seems like the umpire has the control there more than anybody else. And the players are less likely to clear the benches and have big brawls like we used to see back in the day.
Do you think in this might be way off base. Is there any part of you that thinks it's just because the money has gotten so crazy? Like when Andre Dawson was ready to find and destroy Eric Schau, which he probably would have. Like, you were making good money,
mm-hmm.
but now you're making like insane generational upon generational wealth. And sometimes I do wonder if they're like, that was messed up, but we'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I don't know.
The Bautista punch, that was a unique moment in sports for
and
us.
A spur of the moment. When you run out of the dugout.
But they had hatred for each other.
You're right. But if you're going to like charge the mound is a shorter time. But if you're going to run out of the dugout or run out of the bullpen, like you have time to think over what you're doing. In that moment, Rugi thought for 1 second and he's like, you stupid whatever. Mm-hmm. And bam, like he didn't run the length of the outfield and think over, this might not be my best decision.
I think it was Andrew McCutchen. There was a big fight on the field once and he was standing in out in left field and he said, whenever I saw the guys in the bullpen run past me, that's when I realized I was already too late. He was like, the guy, they've already beaten me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here standing out in the outfield and I should have taken off running so that I could get in there. And I don't know if the money's changed it, because you're right. It could definitely, yeah. I mean, you're hindering somebody's, if somebody gets really hurt, it could be a big problem. But it seems like that hatred, I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, but it does have to build over time. You have to go through a moment to hate somebody enough for that to happen, because I don't think it's just that happens one time. Like that's, oh, it just happened.
Okay.
I think every time it's like something's already happened that's set up for the moment that's going to happen.
Can I slightly alter my answer then?
Just like the Rangers, like the stomping on home plate. Yes. All that was built off of the anger and hatred between the two teams.
And one of the reasons for that is you found yourself in continual high pressure situations against the Blue Jays or now the Astros. So with some of the team changes and everything like that, maybe it's hard to artificially, I'm not saying you can't hate somebody the first time you meet them, but it feels much more likely that after you've played somebody 15 times, you're like, God, I can't stand that person.
I'm glad you said that, Kevin, because that is a segment idea that I had this morning that I forgot about. So thank you very much. And that's the C Block, ladies.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to do a couple of different things here. Does the Cowboys 49ers rivalry get its proper due in NFL history? Plus, I want you guys to wildly speculate, how much money will be wagered on NFL games this season? We'll do both of those things next on The Fan.
Aikman to throw.
Kelvin Martin, touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 of The Fan. So I started to research this a little bit in the aftermath of the Cowboys Netflix documentary.
Were there sections of that in the games that brought back memories of you?
Yes.
Like reliving I still remember anticipating the San Francisco games.
Yes.
Being excited about them. I was nervous against Green Bay. You know, like there were, but I was like, no, we're beating San Francisco.
Yeah. And it reset some of my thoughts about certain things. I don't know why I thought that Jimmy said we will win this game about the 92 championship game.
Same.
As opposed to the 93.
Yeah.
And that could have been a product.
Like, hold on, why'd they leave that out?
Yeah. It could have been a product of like being a kid at the time. But that was really fascinating. So there was a particular thing in there that actually multiple players said, but I thought Deion Sanders like crystallized it right to the point, because Emmett, Aikman, and Irvin, and they were all like, look, we knew how important this game was. And if we could win this game, we could win the Super Bowl. But then Deion just cut right to the chase. And he goes, I think we all knew this was the Super Bowl. And that's the way it felt. I don't necessarily know if it felt exactly that way in 1992. But certainly once 1992 had passed, mm-hmm. and the Cowboys just annihilated the Bills, there is no question in 93 and then again in 1994 that those were the Super Bowls. Like, it was laughable that the San Diego Chargers were playing in the Super Bowl when everybody knew that it was the Cowboys and 49ers game. That was the real Super Bowl.
It didn't seem like any AFC team had the star power to keep up with the NFC teams either.
I wondered for a time about the Bills.
And
obviously, when they started to lose, it just was like, yeah.
They kind of lost that sizzle for them. And I know Jim Kelly in it. He's like, I wanted to go back. You know, as soon as it was over, I wanted to be back. You know, like, I don't know how many people could mentally go through that hurdle of,
right,
dude, we cannot win. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is.
Right.
This game in particular.
So I started to think about this more and more. Do you feel like people in the history of the NFL properly appreciate the 49ers and the Cowboys? Because,
well, here's the thing.
I might be about to present a case to you.
I lived it. So I'm biased.
Okay.
And all the people that I know and care about and love, they lived it with me too. So we are biased about it. So
right.
I would say that I think it does. And that specific time period changed the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, not just what Jerry Jones did as a trailblazer, but like that changed what the NFL, it launched it into a different stratosphere in that specific 90s era.
And that is around the time when there could be no question that this was the sport in North America. Now, you could argue that it had happened before that, but with labor stoppages in the previous decade, we don't need to go back through all that, I guess.
The Super Bowl in that time period... Go back to the Michael Jackson moment when he jumps up on that stage and stands there for 20 minutes and everybody still never stops cheering. It just felt like it was a star era.
Yeah.
That I don't think that it had been associated the same way. Maybe that's just me not understanding in the 80s and earlier on how it was, but it was a different show at that time.
Do you feel like people acknowledge and properly appreciate, for example, like the Bears and the Packers?
Which the Bears, the 84 Bears?
No. Just like as a rivalry.
Yeah, I think so.
Cowboys,
plus that's a Northeast thing.
Mm-hmm. Cowboys and Eagles?
I
feel like people accept that. Maybe more modernly, Ravens and Steelers.
Yep.
I feel like that gets talked a lot about. But I did some research. What do you think is the most two teams have played each other in a conference championship game? Like, over the history of conference championship games in the Super Bowl era, what do you think is the most? I don't even need the matchup. Just like the most times the same two teams have played each other.
I want to say 34 just to see your face.
That is way too many.
Six.
All right. Woo. Look at you. Spot on. It's six for Cowboys and 49ers. The next highest is three.
Wow.
All right. So think about this. So,
wow.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. So take a look.
And I don't. And when you asked the question, all I thought about was that 90s section. I wasn't even thinking about the catch and all the stuff that I didn't watch.
And that is surely one of the most iconic moments in the history of the NFL. And that's not even what jumps to the front of your mind.
Yeah.
And that shows how deep that is. All right. So go to the AFC. Kansas City and Buffalo. They play all the time in the championship game, right? Three times. Chiefs are up 2-1. Colts and the Patriots. Oh, my God. Those teams are always playing in the championship. Like eight times. Three times. And only two of those were Peyton against Brady. Now, Peyton against Brady did play two other times with the Broncos. But, like, still not the same team. Browns and the Broncos. Three times. Broncos won all three. But guess what? They went on to lose all three of those Super Bowls. The most equivalent I could find was 74 through 76, the Raiders and the Steelers. The Steelers won two of the three, and the winner all three times went on to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
But outside of that, that's it. Their shared history is dominating the 70s. Now let's go to the NFC.
And of those six games, the winner is 6-0 in the Super Bowl of the Cowboys series. Did you have that already?
No. But we were going to, exactly.
From the A17.
Exactly. We were going to get to that. And then think about this. It's a little tricky with the Cowboys and the Packers because those first two games were NFL championship games, not NFC championship games.
Mm-hmm.
But if you count those, the second most common matchup is the Cowboys and the Packers. If you don't, no other NFC championship matchup has happened more than twice. Twice! And the 49ers and the Cowboys have played six times in the NFC championship game.
Just imagine how many more times they could have met in the NFC championship game if the Niners hadn't eliminated the Cowboys earlier.
That's a great point.
And I say that because the 2000s haven't been kind.
No, absolutely. And you know what? Here's a great example of that. They played in, I think you'll notice a pattern here, 70, 71, 81, 92, 93, 94. So essentially, you would get these games, give them a decade, and they would pick it back up. So if the Cowboys had been in any of these games, surely we would be back up to 8, 9.
I say 10.
Maybe so. So take a look at 70 and 70 for 70 and 71. 71, the Cowboys won that game. I actually think the first matchup between Cowboys and 49ers, the team that won that did not win. So
okay.
I think they're 5-1. In those Super Bowls. But yeah, so the Cowboys That first time they matched up, they win the game, make their first Super Bowl. Next year, Cowboys win their first Super Bowl. The next game, you get maybe the most iconic play in the history of NFL football. And then 92, 93, and 94 were all de facto Super Bowl years where the team that won, I think, went on to win the Super Bowl by, let's try to do some quick math, what, an average of like 28 points?
Yeah.
All three of the closest Super Bowl following Cowboys 49ers was 17 points. That was the closest margin of victory.
Those are runaways, man. Like in that game specifically, that's a runaway.
Yes.
You know, 17 points is still a big victory, but in the Super Bowl, you're expecting these are the two best teams from each side of the NFL.
Yes. And so from the 9-0-3, Cowboys Niners is criminally underrated as a rivalry. And that's what I think of too, because whether it was, you know, Everson Walls and Danny White going up against Joe Montana, whether you go back to the 70s or obviously in the 90s, kind of like right when we were really becoming sports fans, you could feel like you could name like 15 people off of those teams. I just wanted to throw that out there, that when I was watching that documentary, what really struck me is I feel like Cowboys 49ers should be mentioned more frequently at the top or near the top of all-time NFL rivalries.
Do you think they aren't for two reasons? One, oversaturation of Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Two,
that is an interesting.
They haven't been good in the last 30 years, and people are just like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so they don't want to give any credit to this 30-year span where you're like, it could be better, but.
So I had two reasons, and one of them was the same as yours of the Cowboys haven't been good, like really good in a long time. The oversaturation one is a really interesting part, because I guess the counter argument to this would be like, well, for God's sakes, you get the Eagles and probably the Commanders rivalry. Isn't that enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe so. But the other one, go ahead.
The oversaturation part, like Broadus yesterday was talking about, I lived in Green Bay for 6 years of my life.
Yeah.
It's not Dallas.
Right.
I mean, Craig James just pointed out, like, right, it's not Dallas. He was like, the thing that you get from here, this is in regards to Micah, and Micah knows this, is I can go to Green Bay and I might have that Red Lobster and the cheddar biscuits, but it's not where I am in Dallas and I have a career after football. You know, like that is the oversaturation, is that most of these guys know it's talked about the most on Kevin. Think about that, dude. On the Fox pregames, on the CBS pregames, they talk about the Cowboys even when the Cowboys aren't playing.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder if these two teams were like division rivals, if it would rocket back up. So it's a rarer matchup. And I know people talk about it, but I think it should be higher up on the list. Like if you look at the historical way that Super Bowls have been won, more of them have gone through the Dallas-San Francisco matchup by far than anybody else. Like, no one's played more than three times in the AFC. No one's played more than three times in the NFC, except for this matchup. And so I just wanted to present a walk down memory road and a case that this should be higher on the list.
I appreciate that. From the 214, we lost to damn Jimmy G. That killed the rivalry.
You know what? I know that has been a sticking point with Mike for some time. Now, Kevin Walker, I'm going to start with you on this. If you had to guess, how much money will be legally wagered on NFL football this year?
Legally is important.
Yes, it is.
I would say, am I crazy to say bees? I'm going to say $3
billion. Okay, $3 billion. Corey, legally wagered money on NFL.
How much did he say?
$3
billion. Ah, you're low.
He's going to say $3 billion and $1, and you're going to dislike him.
$50 billion.
Woo! Now, that is too high. But that's because I said legal.
Yeah.
NFL bettors, you're going to like this then. NFL bettors are expected to wager $30 billion on NFL football this season. So when you asked, are you crazy to go with a B, I wanted to tell you definitely not. So think about it. You asked, is it crazy to say $3 billion? It is 10 times that amount. And that is for legal wagers, because as much as sports gambling has become accepted across the United States, except here in Texas, There are plenty of other not legal bets that take place, which I wonder how close that would get you to the 50 billion mark, or certainly at least the 40 billion mark. But just think about that. $30 billion will get wagered on NFL football this year.
That's not even college football.
No. Yes. And that does not even factor in all aspects of daily fantasy, because those get compartmentalized differently.
Just think what y'all could do with all that money that you're gambling away. I'm just, all I'm saying is, you could donate that money to Peace of Thon. You know?
Yeah.
Like, all you got to do is go there. We'll have a link up and you can click on it and donate cash.
You know what? That's a great, I want to see.
$30 billion.
I'm going to go see if I can seek out a breakdown. I don't know if there's any way they would have this information, but I want to know, like, what percentage of gamblers bet like at least $10,000, you know, because I kind of want to see like what chunk of that money comes from people who are like, yeah, that's neat. I donate lots of money to charity, but I also have all this other money too, so don't worry about it. Versus all the people who are like,
good point.
Every weekend I put $10 down on this, that, and the other.
Gotta get my juice.
Yeah, I want to see what that breakdown looks like.
I saw a video this morning, Kevin. I know we're a little late here, but I saw a video of a guy who was talking to his wife about his cards that he was wanting to collect.
Yeah.
And he was like, think I use these cards. I just did the stairs with it. I sell them and I do the. His joy comes from opening the packs, seeing what's inside, potentially hitting the big one.
Right.
And then her joy is spending the money that he gets off of them. And he's willing. He's like, that's fine. I'll spend the money on it. I just I got to get the juice. And that's gambling's the same thing.
This is a weird way to compare it to like when you were a kid. I still to this day and probably will always appreciate more buying a box, buying a pack, whatever, and pulling that card I want as opposed to ordering it off of eBay. The same way if you bought like a cassette or a CD, that's cool. But back in the day, if you could get that record going for the song that you requested at just the right time, that's a feeling that like that's tough to match, you know? Same kind of theory. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go to Jake's in Frisco to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next right here on The Fan.
And a swing and a miss here. Latch with a fastball, swords Ward for the final out in the third. No runs, a hit. Neto stranded at third. And after 2.5, it remains 7-1 Rangers.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Shout out to Jacob Latz for stepping up once again, though obviously the offense took care of
need pitching.
All of your problems yesterday. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, let's take you to Jake's in Frisco and chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing. Higgy, how are you?
Man, I'm doing really well, and I was hoping we could go around with all of y'all one more time if you have any advice or suggestions for people who are going to try out for Fan Phenom after y'all's show wraps up.
Don't suck.
that's a good one. That's good advice.
That is good.
Don't suck. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, Eric and I have both gotten to host this once now. I definitely come with a subject. Don't sit down and be like, I'm down to talk about whatever you want to talk about. No, we got a list of people that are waiting to go. You only got 3 minutes. So sit down prepared with what you want to hit. Get right into it. And take a deep breath. It's okay to be nervous. I think a lot of people are nervous doing this, but it's going to be all right. But make sure you're prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. And have I think one of the big things is don't make it to where you have to be interviewed, right? Mm-hmm. Like you come with a take of sorts and have enough opinions and stats or facts of whatever kind to sort of back it up. And maybe there's a question from, I guess CA's doing it tonight, right?
Yeah.
To kind of continue to steer the conversation, but sometimes they'll sit down, they'll give their 30 seconds, whatever they have, and then you're having to like pick their brain on it. I mean, this is like, hey, you got 2-3 minutes, own that real estate, baby.
You want to make it a conversation, a good back and forth.
You nailed it right there. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, you and your friends do this all the time.
Yeah.
You and your friends are always talking. You're listening, you're toloing, and you're having a conversation yelling at us about how stupid we are in the car. And you go ahead and get it done now, and now's your chance.
Just know you're stupider than us.
Oh, okay.
Stupid.
Let's not come in here and act like you're smarter than us, all right? We'll have none of that.
Do you need it to be something that's like happening right here and right now? Like, hey, here's what I think about Texas, Ohio State. Or do you care if it's like a broader, like, here's why the Cowboys have struggled in the second round of the draft or something?
I think you could do either or. I would say what might be more, a bigger import than that is try to come up with something that nobody else has said or written. Mm. You know, what's going to make you unique?
Ooh, yeah. That.
And that can be difficult because narratives get established, and by the time you're 24, 48 hours in, everybody's playing like copycat off of each other with different opinions and, you know, just kind of parroting each other. But I think if you sit there and think about it long enough, maybe meditate on it, you can come up with something unique.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this with you guys, but I was reading an article in The Athletic about the Savannah Bananas and everything that they've done and what they're seeking to do next. Do y'all have strong thoughts, or do you care whatsoever about the Savannah Bananas?
I think it's cool they exist.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's the modern-day version of the Harlem Globetrotters from my childhood.
Definitely.
Even better than the Harlem Globetrotters.
Even better. Yeah, it'd be fun better to go watch them, yeah, but it might just be like kind of a one-time thing. Like, once you go once, you've seen it. Maybe the kids love it, but, I mean, I'm pretty indifferent. I think that it's neat. I like their videos. They pop out. The TikToks are very fun.
And so that's why I'm fascinated, because Jesse Cole, who's the owner of the Savannah Bananas, he specifically said, and I'm with you on this, Broadus, he goes, this isn't the Globetrotters. We're building a sport. And I guess that's where I'm intrigued, I guess I should say.
Kind of like wrestling?
Maybe, but because
like he's trying to build something that more people will be involved with, more teams.
Exactly. Kind of? Because he said, for example, if you look at like Little League Baseball, they don't necessarily want to play Little League Baseball. They want to play banana ball and like do trick shots and everything like that. And so he's intrigued by the concept of like building this out into not necessarily a bigger thing, but like a different kind of thing.
Well, I respect his willingness to try and push this thing forward, right? I mean, he's trying to establish something that and capitalize on something that's really hot right now. How can you make this bigger, better, a little bit different, evolve, and get more eyeballs and more dollars, I guess.
Do they play against the same team like the New Jersey Generals?
The Party Animals?
Do they play against the same group every time?
Yeah, I thought it was.
See, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to create more of a different look. He doesn't want to be the Globetrotters because they played against the Washington Generals the whole time.
Right.
And, you know, that it gets old.
Yeah, with the world of Dude Perfect, you know, Dude Perfect and that. Like, all these kids grew up
the idea
watching that, yeah.
How sad do you think you would have been if you were at one of those Globetrotter games that they lost?
Ugh.
Like the three or four they lost.
Yeah, that would suck, dude. Because you're not going there to watch them lose.
No.
That's not what you're there to do. You want them to do all the fun, the tricks. And
kind of like Manchester United going to Huddleston Town. Where did they go, Dawson? Where did they lost that match?
Gympiesburg?
Wow. Some crazy place.
It wasn't Gettysburg.
Higsby,
yeah.
It was a small fishing town.
Grimsby.
Smelly place.
Especially today.
It's where the brothers Grimm are from.
Yeah.
Celebrating for 22 hours by now.
Yep.
Non-stop. You guys see that? Man United lost to a fourth division team.
I did. That is crazy.
You guys acted like you hadn't.
Insane
in the way you
penalty
laid out
kicks. 11 penalty kicks.
Wow.
I was trying to interview Danny Cannell while it was going down.
Are you fascinated or locked in at all at the opportunity for Wrexham to try to move up to the Premier League? Does that story do anything for you?
Yeah, I'm into it. You know, I watched the first season of the documentary, and then I just kind of lost track of it. But I'm always pulling for them. I think it's, you know, cool that you could buy a little pub team and start giving them great players and start climbing the ladder. That's I think the genius of the European sports model. You know, anybody can get in this if you can start winning enough games.
Nothing better than relegation.
Yeah,
I do like relegation.
Get a Man United.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Hagen, thanks so much for asking. We got Jane Slater coming up at 5, and she's been tracking this Micah story about as good as anybody, probably better than anybody else. So we look forward to chatting with Jane Slater. 5 o'clock here, live from Jake's in Frisco. Fan Phenom coming up at 7 o'clock.
There you go, right off of Main Street. Go see the G-Bag Nation. Go try out. Husker fan phenom. Tomorrow morning, Sean and RJ at the Firehouse in Red Oak off of Methodist. And then we will be at Uncle Julio's in Frisco tomorrow. Got Nelly ticket giveaways, got t-shirt giveaways. It's going to be a blast. Come and see us 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.